Beginning as Balducci's Fruit Stand in Greenwich Village 70 years ago, Baldor Specialty Foods has been curating and delivering the highest quality foods in the world to the restaurant and hospitality industries. Chefs rely on Baldor for the freshest and most seasonal ingredients, along with new and exciting items that you just can't get elsewhere. Baldor's ordering process is designed with a chef's schedule and priorities in mind to get you what you need when you need it. Baldor is the trusted resource and partner for the region's top chefs. Learn what Baldor can do for your business today at baldorfood.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Prince Street, Dean and DeLuca's monthly podcast dedicated to the delicious and infinite connections between people and food. Each new Prince Street podcast features special guests, field reports, and meals from around the world. Editor-in-Chief Howie Kahn hosts the show, featuring segments from correspondents such as Griffin Dunn, Jay McInerney, Eden Grinspan, and Sierra Tischgart. Download Prince Street on iTunes and online at livefromprincestreet.com. Prince Street, a fresh new podcast with a culinary heart.
Everybody, welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb. I'm Carrie Diamond, co-founder of Cherry Bomb, the indie magazine about women and food. All summer long, we're sharing some of our favorite talks and panels from this year's Cherry Bomb Jubilee, our annual celebration of women doing amazing things in the world of food. It was held this past April in New York City. First, just a reminder, Radio Cherry Bomb is produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station devoted to all things food. Help keep HRN alive by becoming a member today. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate. Make sure to check it out. And a shout out to the season's sponsors, the Natural Gourmet Institute for Health and Culinary Arts, where you can start your journey to becoming a natural food chef today. Baldor Specialty Foods, which curates and delivers the best and freshest food in the world to the restaurant and hospitality industries. And Prince Street, the fresh new podcast with a culinary heart from Dean and DeLuca. So, on today's show, we're going to hear from Mimi Sheraton, the legendary journalist and food critic. If you listen to the show, you know that we love Mimi here at Radio Cherry Bomb. Mimi talked to the audience about what the New York City food scene was like for female chefs back in the 70s and the 80s when she was reviewing restaurants for the New York Times. Stay tuned for some straight talk from Mimi Sheraton. Introducing Mimi is Olivia Terenzio from Open Table. The talk will begin right after this message. Were you into avocado toast before any of your friends? Do you know how to whip up some cashew cream? And do you make your own almond milk? If so, you're our kind of person, and you might be interested in the classes at the Natural Gourmet Institute for Health and Culinary Arts, located in the heart of Manhattan. Founded in 1977, NGI is the first culinary school dedicated to healthy cooking to be accredited nationally. Their professional chef's training program is offered full and part-time, and several of our favorite chefs are alumni, including Dirt Candy's Amanda Cohen, Alyssa Wagner of Dimes, and Chloe Coscarelli of By Chloe. Visit the NGI website to learn how you can transform your life and your career.
Hi, everyone. I'm Olivia Terenzio with Open Table. I run Open Table's Open for Business blog, which shares tips and insights on running a successful restaurant from the best chefs and owners and operators in the industry. We're so excited to be a sponsor for the Jubilee today, and I have the distinct honor of introducing our next two talks, the first on New York the way it was, the second on New York the way it is today. First, Mimi Sheraton. Mimi needs no introduction, but since I'm up here, Mimi has participated in every Jubilee since the beginning, and I'm thrilled to welcome her back today. As a former food critic for the New York Times and also the Times' first ever female restaurant critic, she is absolutely a legend of the food and journalism worlds. Her most recent book is 1,000 Foods to Eat Before You Die, and she recently reissued her German cookbook. Both are for sale downstairs, so take a look. And Mimi also recently celebrated her 90th birthday. Round of applause. You are such an inspiration to me, certainly, as a writer and a former journalism student, and to so many of the rest of you out there, I know. So really excited to hear from her. She's going to be giving us a snapshot of the New York chef scene as it was when she was a critic for The Times. Following Mimi, we'll have Melissa Clark, current food columnist for The New York Times, talking to five sensations of the New York restaurant scene today. Adrienne Cheatham of Red Rooster Harlem, Emma Bengston of Aquavit, Alyssa Wagner of Dimes, Angela DiMignuna of Mission Chinese Food, and Chloe Cascarelli of By Chloe. One of the really wonderful things about my job at Open Table is that I get to talk to chefs and restaurateurs all the time. And instead of talking to them about their secret ingredients or how to roast the perfect chicken, I get to ask them about their biggest business challenges, what keeps them up at night, what they'd tell another person who's starting out in industry today who has big dreams and ambitions. The restaurant industry is notoriously tough, as we just heard from Kat's very important discussion. When I was getting ready for the Jubilee today, I was talking to Carrie and Claudia, and they were saying that when they first started Cherry Bomb, the big question was, where are all the female chefs? And today they're right in front of us. It's incredibly inspiring to see New York having this moment to see these five women heading up some of the most well-respected and talked about kitchens in the city. I know both of these discussions will give us important perspective on where we've been, how far we've come, and what's still ahead. Thank you.
Well, I'm really happy to be here. I've loved all of the Jubilees. I'd hate to miss one. And this looks like the largest of all, which I think is a very good sign. Thank you. When Carrie asked me about doing this, and I was trying to think of the way it was, I was the New York Times critic from 1976 to 1984. But for several years before that, I reviewed restaurants for the original Village Voice and for a magazine called Q, which probably most of you are too young to remember. It was a city magazine folded into New York Magazine. And when I was reviewing for Q, they thought my name was improbable, so for 3 years I wrote under the name of Martha Martin. But it was really the first female critic in New York, before Gail Green, and then finally me at the New York Times. If you think it's hard to get a job as a chef as a woman, try getting one as a food critic as a woman. I looked through a New York City guidebook that I had published in 1982, and it was a collection of my reviews up to that time, brought up to date, and I wanted to see how many women chefs there were at that time. There was Lydia Bastianich, who had just opened Felidia after having a restaurant in Queens for a number of years. Annie Rosenzweig was a brunch and dessert cook at Vanessa, which was a restaurant on Bleecker Street. 1972, major news in the New York Times was Leslie Revson getting a job as what was called a kitchen man in the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. A woman in a hotel kitchen was so newsworthy that it became a major story with all of the attendant remarks. Women can't lift the garbage cans. Women can't lift the stock pots. And Leslie said, well, I dump them when they're half empty. There was a woman, Erminia Lattanzi, an Italian mama cook, whose family had four restaurants in New York, Trastevere, Erminia, and Lattanzi. She was the head cook. And a Japanese immigrant woman who married an American and came to live here and missed a lot of Japanese-style vegetarian cooks, and she totally upended the look of food for a long time. Her name was Hisai Vilka, and she went on to have four restaurants in New York, one seafood, the rest all vegetables, and the extraordinary La Tulipe, for which Sally Darr was the chef. Now, the interesting thing is, except for Anne Rosenzweig, every one of these women was the owner. And that was the difference. It's no trick if you're going to be the owner. The trick is working for somebody else who will hire you. Around the country, Alice Waters had opened Chez Panisse in 1971. In 1974, Lydia Shire in Boston became the head chef at a very prestigious French restaurant called Maison Robert. And in 1986, she was the opening chef at the Four Seasons Hotel in Beverly Hills. 1984, Joyce Goldstein opened Square One. And 1990, Susan Spicer opened Biona. But you see, all of these women were the owners. They didn't have to put up with the various problems and just getting the job. They were the bosses. And a number of them, such as Alice Waters, really stopped doing a lot of the cooking. If you notice, she's not often now in Berkeley. But I don't think the situation has changed too much. I think the attitudes are still there. And I do think one thing that happens with women, women quit. A lot of women quit because they want a social life, because they want to have children. There was an article written in 1999 by Marion Burroughs in the New York Times in which she talked about the span of life from 25 to 35 when you would be doing your training and taking jobs that would equip you for higher jobs, when women began to think, do I want children? I think in many ways we are all at the mercy, if children are of interest, of what Richard Dawkins calls the selfish gene. Very, very hard to avoid it. But there is progress. I called the Culinary Institute of America the other day to see what their breakdown in students were. And they said for the first time this year, they have a 50-50 student registration, half women, half men. In 1999, it was 25% women. So more women are trying. We hope more women are going to be lucky, but we hope they have a realistic idea of what they're up against, because every woman who quits early makes it that much more difficult for the next woman who wants to try it. So I think now we're going to hear from a group of very successful women. And except for the chef from Aquavit, I think they are all owners. So the beat continues. Thank you and enjoy it.
Be sure to tune in next week to hear part two of this conversation. Five of New York City's hottest young chefs talk about the reality of their jobs today with moderator Melissa Clark of the New York Times. Thank you to Mimi and Olivia Terenzio. If you'd like to be the first to know about this year's Jubilee or next year's Jubilee in New York and our upcoming San Francisco Jubilee, sign up for our mailing list at cherrybomb.com. Thank you to engineer Dave Tadashore, and thanks again to our sponsors for supporting this season of Radio Cherry Bomb. Natural Gourmet Institute for Health and Culinary Arts. Start your journey to become a natural food chef today by visiting ngihca.edu. Prince Street, a fresh podcast with a culinary heart. For more, visit livefromprincestreet.com or download the Prince Street podcast from iTunes. Baldor Specialty Foods curates and delivers the best and freshest food in the world to the restaurant and hospitality industries. Learn what Baldor can do for your business today at baldorfood.com. Thanks for listening, everyone. I'm Carrie Diamond, and you're the bomb.
I'm Melissa King, and I'm a chef in San Francisco and finalist on Bravo's Top Chef. I'm also a chef partner for Whole Foods Market and a supporter of the LGBT community, women empowerment, and food sustainability. I'm currently launching a restaurant project in Tokyo called El Cafe, focused on bridging Californian cooking with local Japanese ingredients. Radio Cherry Bomb is a joint production of Cherry Bomb Magazine and the Heritage Radio Network. To subscribe or learn more about the magazine, visit cherrybomb.com. You know who I think is the bomb? Alice Waters is the bomb. She continually inspires me through her dedication to the organic food movement. And after all, she's the mother of Californian cooking, so I got nothing but love for her.